Good morning. We're gonna get started here. We don't have quorum yet. I'll try and remember to gavel it in when we do. Continuing with Mr. Meyer and the DNR budget. Mr. Meyer.
Chair members, thank you. Good morning. My name is Bob Meyer, Assistant Commissioner, Department of Natural Resources. We're here today to talk about the governor's supplemental budget. The past hearings, we spoke of kind of the FY 10-11 budget as it was passed last May, and also the actions that have been taking place. The $800,000 general fund, an allotment that we did internally that was in the bill, and then also the holdbacks that occurred in June of 2009, which you need to add on top of the numbers that are here in this proposal today. So actually, when we're talking of a general fund reduction in FY 10, the supplemental budget of $957,000, you need to add on a $1.475 million reduction that's already occurred in this fiscal year as well. So it gets us up towards 3.5% general fund reduction this year. And then when we talk next year, it's $1.954 million general fund, but there's also some natural resource reductions that have changed a little bit since the governor's budget came out, but the total is $3.26 million general fund and natural resource fund reductions in FY 11. That's actually closer to about 5 or 6% of the department's general fund or operating budget, I should say, total. And I just want to step back for one brief second and talk about the pressures we all know we're facing, but the department in particular, if you take out the pill payment, the treaty payment, the fire open appropriation, and the fire direct appropriation, well, this those opens, right now that totals almost $50 million. That comes into the department's budget, but goes out as a payment, or else we use it for fire activity throughout the state. That leaves us with about $65, $70 million general fund to do our work. Actually, it's closer to $65 or a little bit less. And then we have to look at our core missions, the protection, environmental protection and environmental sustainability, economic growth and enhancement and economic protection, keeping the jobs that we have right now, and also the recreation mission that we have that people pay us a lot of money to do and keep going. It puts tremendous pressures on us to come up with a proposal that works. We spent a lot of time, we went back to our core activities, putting wood up for sale, making sure that there are intermediate contracts and things like that, making sure that our forest activities will reduce the threat of fire out there, making sure that our mineral lease activities are going on at a pace that can keep up with the demand for these activities, our exploration, things like that. But then at the same side, making sure our game and fish work is balanced out and our ecological resources and water activities. So the budget I'm about to talk about, it trims some things, but we got to get to the point where we stop doing some things. And that's what we look forward to working with you on, trying to figure out what those things are and get back to the core activities of the department. And that's where this gets us to. But I think with the direction I've been given from the chair and staff, we're going to have to talk about that a little more in the coming days. So, Mr. Chair, with that, I have the handout. There's two handouts. The first one I want to talk about is titled FY 10 and 11 Department of Natural Resources Summary of Governor's Supplemental Budget Impacts. Then it says General Fund. It's a four-page document here. If everybody has that, I'll just move forward. And there are copies up here for the audience, too. So.
All the committee members have a copy of that.
Madam, or Mr. Chair, sorry about that. You can see the agency total, as I talked about, for FY 10 General Fund is $957,000. 787, and in 10, it's $1.954 million across the department for a total unallotment general fund of just over $2.9 million. This general fund target excludes fire open and open appropriations for treaty payments and things like that, as I had mentioned. Moving into the Division of Lands and Minerals, it's $114,450 the first year, $283,050 the second year, out of approximately $4 million annual and direct fund appropriation to the division. Some of this comes from reduction or transfer, I guess, the way it is in our real estate management costs. We have a general fund appropriation for real estate activities. When we do acquire land with a dedicated fund, Game and Fish Fund or Environment Trust Fund or the Outdoor Heritage Fund, those funds are charged the closing costs, the appraisal work. So the funds are paying their way for real estate activities. This $30,000 in FY10 and $83,000 in 11 reduction will be billed through our professional service rates back to the divisions for such things as land exchanges, transfers. So when, for example, we did, we exchanged all of the school trust lands out of the park system with school trust lands, so now there's no more school trust land within our state parks. Actually, we received an appropriation to do that, but those types of exchanges now will go back if we're doing a Game and Fish or a WMA land exchange or a forestry land exchange. Those costs will be borne by those actual divisions and those funds that are there for those activities.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. And Commissioner Meyer, and maybe you touched on this before I came in, but with the division of lands, how many total acquisitions are in the pipeline right now? If you take trails, parks, AMAs, SNAs.
Mr. Chair, Representative Hanson, I didn't bring that sheet with me today, but over the past 3 years, we've done more transactions than we probably did the previous 10. And we're ramping ourselves up for that. Actually, we're in the process now of bringing on our own closer, because sometimes part of the scheduling and things like that, so we're trying to expedite that process as much as possible. But we can get those numbers for you.
Representative.
Mr. Chair and Commissioner Myers, so have you had to reassign staff to work in that area, and those are funded out of the acquisition purchases, or...
Mr. Chair, Representative Hanson, we haven't had to reassign staff, but those activities are funded from the direct source of the acquisition dollars. It's included within those transaction costs.
Commissioner Meyer, did you have another question, Representative Hanson?
I just had a follow-up. So the $30,000 and the $83,000, Mr. Chair, are a shift from general fund over into the accounts?
Mr. Chair, Representative Hanson, the reduction in this area will be picked up by the divisions, and it's not on acquisition. These are for our exchange work, all the work that's not actual acquisition work, our exchanges, appraisals, things like that are not related to acquisition from any other dedicated fund. We do a lot of county exchange work, expedited land exchanges, trying to manage. This is part of our land asset work that we're doing out there.
Commissioner Meyer, just a quick question here. In the these reductions in the real estate management, and I just go back to our conversation in the last days regarding the trail crossing fees that are now being charged. Would you anticipate this going to have an impact on that? No.
Mr. Chairman, members, no, these are, you can see it's for real estate sales and exchange programs. Those activities related to utility crossings and trail crossings are separate. Okay. Those are funded from those charges themselves. So
okay.
This is doing our internal work or working with counties and other private, or not land, not private, but other local units of government on exchanges, transfers, things like that.
Okay. I mean, I understand there's a basic need to have an office and keep the lights on kind of a thing, and I just wonder if that's going to impact any of this down the road. Thank you.
Mr. Chair, members, moving on to the other two pieces that are here within the Lands and Minerals Division, you can see the next bullet, 17,010. And $115,000 is from the MyLand Reclamation Program. Again, these costs are going to be billed through our departmental services programs. It's not going to result in a reduction of services. General fund appropriations primarily supports research, and staff working under this appropriation are going to be funded throughout the division. What we look at, and we have a professional services program where we go through and we look at the core activities that need to take place that are impacting or benefiting the entire department. You'll see me talk about this in a couple other areas as well, but we go through and we have very complex indices that we evaluate every year, what should be in here with the leadership of the division. Actually, we have a committee that's made up of a rotating group of our senior managers, and then they make recommendations on what should be included in this, what the indices are, and then we basically run the spreadsheet, so to speak, and it comes up with the rate per division on the different funds. So we've actually spent some time talking with that with Mr. Reinholz and others, and it's a new way of doing business that we started on about 4 years ago, but it really helps us provide core services that are beneficial to the entire department in an equitable manner.
Well, Representative Hansen.
Mr. Chair and Commissioner Myers, so those general fund cuts are really shifts to other small D dedicated funds that you'll be billed back through professional services.
Mr. Chair, Representative Hansen, yes, it's a different way of doing business, and it's something that we're spending a lot of time looking at how to do that. So it is a shift of the funding, but this is something that we need to continue to do, and it's important enough for us to figure out how to do it. So with the continued pressures that we have. Moving on to the last bullet, lands and minerals, Mr. Chair, $67,450 in 10 and $85,050 in 11 will be reduced from the iron ore cooperative research program. This is a cost share program that we do with the mining industry, the Iron Ferrous Committee. There's not enough money for them to. There's money on the table from them for investments because of the mining economy. They can't match the dollars that we have here, so we're going to be transferring some of those back to the general fund. You can see the reductions, it's reduced by about 50%, but the annual non-state match program from the companies, they just can't keep up with the appropriation that we have at this time because of the state of the mining economy.
Representative McNamara.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Commissioner Meyer, I'm just curious, I'm going to bounce back to the one up above the mine reclamation program. You mentioned in there about how staff time on the EIS is quoted to the projects and then paid for by the mining companies. How do they pay that? Do they pay that? Do you periodically? Do you bill them quarterly, or how does that work?
Mr. Chair, members, we enter into an actual contractual arrangement with them, and I'm not sure I can find out. I'm not sure if it's quarterly or it's based upon the contract. Can they pay the full cost?
Okay, you really answered my question by that you do have a contract with them. So what would happen if they decided, based on all the publicity going on, that they want to pull back on, like, the non-ferrous? What's the immediate impact if that was to stop all of a sudden to your department?
Mr. Chair, Representative McNamara, that work is the draft EIS work. I believe you're thinking of one project in particular. Is completed. There's ongoing work responding to public comment, things like that. If they were to cease that work, we would have layoffs or have to shift positions to something else.
Well, thank you, Mr. Chairman. I really appreciate your emphasis on emphasizing and separating core department functions from worthwhile functions, but not necessarily core functions in these incredibly difficult times, because this is going to get much worse. And whether the permitting fees by the proposers is paid quarterly or annually or weekly or whatever doesn't strike me as the real issue. The real issue is to continue the investments in those core activities that the department is engaged in that assist all of us in improving the economy and the job situation in the state. And I know this will sound little simplistic, but it would be good if the department could analyze all of these pages and all of these functions and separate out for the committee what the department considers core economic development, job creation related initiatives versus all of the other things that the department is charged with doing. Because I'm afraid with the time we have and what looks to be the numbers are bad. I mean this is hurtful. The committee should have a little more guidance. And it's going to take some courage because of all the stakeholders that obviously that we have to satisfy. But
Mr. Chair, just really quickly on that point, that's what we've tried to do in this proposal right now. It's a complex thing because a lot of activities relate to each other and they kind of stack on. Forestry, the example I use, our timber stand improvements, our commercial thinnings, our private landowner assistance, our working to protect, get that fuel stock down and manage it and get it to market and provide biomass.
Yeah.
It's all related to jobs, health and safety, fire protection. So we're trying to peel back that onion as much as possible, and we can continue to have those discussions, but I do appreciate your comments on that, because that's exactly what we need to do and we're trying to do.
Yeah, I'm gonna gavel us in here, and we've got a quorum now, so please proceed.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Moving on to the Division of Water, it's $148,010, $315,011 will be reduced out of approximately $11.45 million in general fund. This is a division that is primarily, almost entirely funded by the general fund, so we just can't wipe it out. We have to make sure that our core activities are being done, and sometimes it's a reduction or an extension of things, which we'll get into here. $98,010 and $195,011 are from the Stream Loan Protection Account. These are receipts coming in from the City of Stillwater for a revolving loan program that was established several years ago. They're being deposited in an account. Actually, this takes the money out of the account, moves it into the general fund. There are no requests for these loans, and actually these dollars have been used for that purpose before. The next reduction is $50,010 and $70,011 from our U.S. Geological Survey gauging agreements. We work cooperatively to maintain a system of 35 stream gauges. This reduction will result in the elimination of 6 of these gauges in 10 and an additional 3 gauges in 11. This gauging agreement with the USGS is $400,000, but we will do this looking at the main core ones we need to maintain and trying to figure out systematically which ones should be reduced, Mr. Chair. The next one, $50,000 in FY11, will reduce our contract with the Geological Survey for Geological Atlas work for Clay and Rentonville counties by about 6 months. Instead of being completed in July of 12, they're going to be completed in December of 2012. There's no questions. I'm going to move on to the Division of Forestry.
Commissioner Meyer, just briefly on the stream gauging. Can you just touch one more time on how those priorities are going to be set, on what gauges are going to come out? Or?
Mr. Chair, members, they'll be based upon health, safety, flood information that we need. So we will be looking at the gauge system that we have and which ones are our core gauges we need to maintain to evaluate and determine not only current data but historical data as well. I'll see if I can get you some locations actually here.
And where my point, I guess, is that I know we have a number of initiatives going on that in various watersheds, and hopefully that will be considered too.
Mr. Chair, it will be.
Yeah, thank you.
Thank you. Division of Forestry, $176,000 the first year and $359,000 the second year. This is out of an annual general fund appropriation of about $18.7 million, excluding the fire direct appropriations. You can see there the first bullet. The general forest management appropriation will be reduced by $141,010 and $304,011. out of $2 million, but there's a lot of other things that go on in there as well. This will result in the filling of less vacancies. The division will employ fewer staff and correspondingly reduce spending on supplies, fleet, and travel. We need to manage our vacancies. As I previously said, we can't with good faith fill some of these vacancies knowing that in 3 months, 4 months, 6 months, a year, we're going to have to let somebody go. So we're trying to manage our work and our vacancies within that manner, just because we with good conscience, we don't want to bring somebody on not knowing if we can keep them on.
Dave Hansen.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. And Commissioner Meyer, just on the issue of vacancies and employment, and I had asked the Pollution Control Agency at a previous meeting if we could get an organizational chart of the Commissioner's office with staff and salaries.
Mr. Chair, that's readily available. We can get that for you. Moving on, some of the impacts of this cut here. Assistance to private landowners will be reduced. This is one area where we are charging, but the charges probably will go up for these forest stewardship plans and activities. Technical advice related to state or federal cost share practices will take longer. Assistance related to the marketing of forest products from private lands may be eliminated, but we're trying to we're currently evaluating how this is all going to work with the key focus on core mission, jobs, and protection, as I had said. Forest inventory or planning programs will probably take longer to provide, and pre-commercial treatments may be reduced in some areas. We're also going to take a $35,000 reduction each year in 10 and 11 from the division's information or forest system. It's a computer database that we use. Ongoing maintenance of the system will be delayed. And as we spoke of at the last meeting, the Forest Resources Council will be reduced by an additional $20,000. In June, there was a holdback on allotment, however you want to look at it, of $53,000 from the Forest Resource Council. So out of a $780,000 budget, between the two actions, their budget will be reduced by $73,000. This will reduce their capacity to accomplish monitoring of forest management guidelines, implementation and accomplished plans, forest guidelines, implementation and accomplishment plan revisions of current guidelines will be reduced, delayed. It's going to take longer to do, but this is an impact of the Forest Resource Council. And again, looking at the core missions that we have, this isn't an easy cut for us to do or recommend, but it's on there, Mr. Chair.
Representative Hanson.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. And kind of following up on what Representative Ansel said, considering the depth of the problem that we have, could you explain, is the Forest Resource Council still needed? Could it be eliminated, or could it be shifted to fee-for-service?
Mr. Chair, Representative Hansen, the Forest Resource Council does help us implement the Sustainable Forest Resources Act. It is made up of industry, environmental groups, citizens, and state agencies. They help calm the waters as we develop new guidelines or they review our guidelines and practices, making sure that our forest activities are up to speed, are providing the utmost protection in sensitive riparian lands, for example, or review and give direction to the industry within the state. I think it's looked at as value added. We would hate to see it eliminated, but I think we need to give you some more information and a copy of their annual report so you can evaluate that for yourself.
Please proceed.
Mr. Chair, the Division of Parks and Trails, $203,010 and $483,011 out of approximately $21.86 million in general fund appropriations. You can see here under the first bullet, $168,010 and $448,011 be reduced from the general management appropriation. Vacancies, related spending, supplies, fleet, and travel will be reduced. Also, reductions in our planning, marketing, and information service and investments in technology. We're looking at the reduction of two annual unit or trail park plan updates. Some of our marketing and brochures for parks and trail users won't be updated as frequently. And then just the system and analysis, design, GIS, and data management work will not be at the level that it is right now. An additional $35,000 will be reduced in the Wild and Scenic River program. This is going to be a reduction in our monitoring and inspection of these easements. We'll be doing these efforts still, but looking at doing it a little bit differently as we have staff on the Wild and Scenic Rivers St. Croix, for example, our fishery staff, our wildlife staff, our trails and waterways staff will be looking for violations, monitoring these easements, along with other duties that they're participating in. And as I'd mentioned, this is a way of business that we're going to have to look at doing in other departments as well. As we have our diversified units or divisions out there, we need to try to figure out how can we all be working for each other or with each other in these types of monitoring and enforcement easement kind of activities. Moving on to the Division of Fish and Wildlife, Mr. Chairman, this division only has $1.34 million of general fund remaining within its budget. It's almost entirely funded through user fees, hunting and fishing licenses, stamps, and things like that. So you can see of the $1.34 million, zero in FY10 and $50,011 will be reduced from the wildlife health appropriation. Based upon our preliminary 9 and 10 work with the bovine TB surveillance in the Northwest, it's anticipated that these savings will be taken out of that program. So what we're doing is enhanced bovine TB surveillance work. We're hoping that we will be reducing that and taking these dollars out of that program. Division of Ecological Resources, Mr. Chairman, $170,000 the first year, $140,000 the second year, out of about $6 million annually general funds. You can see there's four bullets here, $80,010. $50,011 from our general management activities. $50,000 in FY11 will be taken from the non-game fish program. This is one of those areas that, unfortunately, we will be reducing, basically eliminating this work being done in ecological resources. However, there still will be some incidental non-game fish population work being done by the Division of Fish and Wildlife. And other activities as we're doing population survey work, we will try to take that into consideration as we're doing that. $50,000 in FY10 will reduce our invasive species enforcement projects by about 500 hours out of a total of 9,300 hours. Core activities will be maintained at existing levels. This is an area that we have increased in the past couple years. $40,010 and 11 will be reduced from our terrestrial invasive species work. It's going to impact about 130 acres out of 200 or 2,500 acres per year. The total appropriation for these activities is a little over $900,000, so we're still going to be maintaining core activities there. The Division of Enforcement, Mr. Chairman, $136,010, $224,000 and 11 out of approximately $2.89 million in general fund. And it's important to note in the Enforcement Division, funding drives activity. I think we've talked about this before, but general fund dollars allowed us to do general enforcement type activities. Game and fish dollars can only be spent on game and fish activities, likewise snowmobile, OHV. So our general fund activities will be reduced. $40,010, $120,000, $128,000 in 11. We will be reducing our wildlife complaint and disposal activities. Complaints that are immediate threats to public will still continue, but the routine response to non-life threatening wildlife complaints will be delayed or referred to other agencies. Last year, we spent about 1,600 hours in this area addressing wildlife complaint issues.
Representative Hanson.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. And Commissioner Meyer, we had the Board of Water and Soil Resources up the other day talking about the enforcement activities with wetland violations, and there seemed to be some confusion about the money we've appropriated to Bowser to provide to you to the bird's eye view flyovers that we had invested as part of the WACA changes a few years ago. Can you let us know what happened with, are there flights, did flights occur last year, are they occurring this year, what's happened with those appropriations?
Mr. Chair, Representative Hanson, we're in the process of completing the work plan for final submission to the Board of Water and Soil Resources to have that transfer occur for FY10. We have been doing these activities. I don't know, did you get into number of cease and desist orders at all? I have some information that talks about since the beginning of that program, I believe, we had 408 cease and desist orders issued in FY8, 431 in 9, and FY10, 118 have been issued so far, but there's been a dramatic decline in a lot of these development-type activities as well. We're still keeping wetland enforcement. We still have, I believe, 9 wetland enforcement officers throughout the state doing these types of activities. But I will get you an update on the FY10 appropriation.
Mr. Chair and Commissioner, maybe you can work with the Board of Water and Soil Resources and we can get kind of a comprehensive response so we don't have to get it from both agencies.
Mr. Chair, we will do that and get that to you as soon as possible.
Thank you.
Moving on, 32,010 and 32,011 will be removed from the Department's Enforcement General Fund budget, and we will be eliminating our activities in federally regulated areas. Complaints will be referred to the federal agency that those activities are in.
Yeah, Representative Angel.
Thank you, Mr. Chair and Mr. Meyer. So can you give us a just a snapshot of how game and fish enforcement will change in the Chippewa and the Superior?
Mr. Chair, Representative Anzell, we will not be actively going into those areas. We'll be still working with, and I need to check on that, Mr. Chairman. These are more of the incidental issues such as, and I don't think Representative Dill's listening to me, in the Voyageurs National Park and things like that, where they have an enforcement staff already. So there are enforcement individuals within Voyageurs National Park that enforce those federal laws. And I probably misspoke on that, but I need to come back and get you more information, because in those federal forested areas, there's a lot of state land dispersed in there as well. But we'll still be actively working in there. I'm 99% sure, but I will get you more information on that. Mr. Chair, moving forward, 32,010-11 will be reduced related to our enforcement investigations of prohibited burning materials on-site disposal. We receive an appropriation from the Environment Fund from the PCA of a little bit over 100,000, I think it's 128,000 per year to do this, and we'll be going back to that appropriation and do these activities and then working with other stakeholders, other law enforcement agencies to cover those issues when we run out of money, Mr. Chair. Similar in 32,010-11 from our investigations of water quality and toxic substance complaints, we'll be focusing entirely on the remediation fund. General fund appropriation will not result in a reduction of those activities, but our funding sources are going to change on that. And then you can see under operation support, Mr. Chair, $10,000 the first year and $100,000 the second year out of $1.34 million will be reduced out of our operations budget, $10,000 from salary savings and vacant positions. And then again, as I spoke of, we will be shifting our energy and biofuel position that we have in our operations support area to our shared services. This individual works on emerging issues such as biomass development, wind energy, all of our coordination on those types of energy and environmental and natural resources issues. So it is a position that provides across the agency support and helps us deal with the rapid expansion of those important issues that we have there. Moving on to the natural resources reductions. Previously in the governor's budget that was released, this was $97,010 and it was $1.911. Inadvertently, some budget reductions that were being talked about were remained in the budget when it was released that shouldn't have been there. So now it's a $1.3 million reduction in FY11. The Division of Forestry would be $106,000 in FY11. From our resource assessment account budget, these are dollars that we receive from the sale of our maps and things like that. It'll reduce the collection and dissemination of information to advance those or refoto and things like that. It'll just reduce the amount of work we can do in that area. Division of Parks and Trails, $82,000 in FY11 will be reduced from the water rec account. These are from several projects that have been appropriated money several bienniums ago, and those projects have not come to fruition. One is the Whitewater Park in the Minneapolis in the Mississippi River, creating a kayak area. And another one is Lake Sarah boat improvements. We've done some work, but there's just no other work that we can do there at that point in time. And then our canoe and boat route management, looking at the Red River of the North Sauk and Otter Tail routes, we'll be reducing some of our activities there. The Division of Fish and Wildlife, there's a balance within the water rec licensing system, the ELS account, where we deposit the revenues that are charged on these balances. At our previous meeting, and I think the information may have been sent to you, our registrations for the different boats that are out there, there's a registration fee, and then there's a titling or a fee that in most cases is $450 when you renew your license. If you transfer or you have a new license, it's $750. That fee goes to the deputy registers and the Department of Natural Resources if we sell a license. So if you go buy your license at a deputy register, you pay that $450 transaction fee or $750 titling fee. Statute requires us to charge the same price. So when we get the $450 or the $750 that's deposited into the ELS accounts, we use those dollars to run the system, to do upgrades, things like that. And there is a balance in that account at this point in time. Mr. Chairman, that's the General Fund and Natural Resource Supplemental Budget Activities. We do have several new initiatives that, if there's no other questions on that, I would just like to spend a minute talking about. And there was a handout that was included in your packet. It's titled 2010 Supplemental Budget New Initiatives. The first one is the Emerald Ash Borer Loan Program. We spoke of similar to an amendment that Representative McNamara had offered dealing with the LCCMR bill. This would establish a $1 million revolving loan program out of the Environmental Trust Fund for grants to local units of government to provide funding to private landowners to do work on private lands. Loans could be used for implementation of best management practices that reduce or eliminate the threat of invasive or harmful tree species, removal, replanting, things of that nature. There is no funding source for private landowners at this point in time. We're trying to create that with the Environmental Trust Fund as a funding source.
Representative McNamara.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Commissioner Meyer, I'm glad that the idea I put forward, that you like it. My question is, I thought of back in a few decades ago, and I think back even in those budgets, we spent tens of millions of dollars to help people deal with, at that time, Dutch elm disease. Is this kind of, at that time, we didn't have the amount of money, and actually we didn't even have the LCCMR balances that we have today. Is that where the push that you came from, that idea, was based on? Previously, the state has been concerned about things like Dutch elm or emerald ash.
Mr. Chair, Representative McNamara, yes, those programs we talked about were funded tens and $20 million out of the general fund for the Dutch elm disease program. We don't have the ability to do that at all right now. I mean, there's no general fund for anything. And looking at the discussions that took place last year with the Outdoor Heritage Fund and other things like that, we felt that looking at the strategic plan and the statutory language surrounding the trust fund, that this perhaps is a better fit than the Lessard-Sams dollars right now, or the Outdoor Heritage Fund at this point.
Representative McNamara.
Well, thank you, Mr. Chair, and I guess I just want to also accentuate that point. Commissioner Meyer, that was my focus. I think we were out on the very edge, and we're seeing that right now, and the challenge is to distribute that money from Lessard-Sams in meeting the statutory and constitutional requirements of how that money can be spent. I think LCCMR, with its broader mission, certainly, I think this is the kind of stuff that people think about when they see the loon on TV and the commercials for the lottery. This makes common sense. The only thing I would say, Commissioner, is you're underspending. You should have more money in this program. We should be getting more money from LCCMR for this kind of stuff, where we see results right away. Thank you.
Mr. Chair.
Representative Hanson.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Commissioner Meyer, was the Dutch elm programs, were they funded out of the general fund?
Mr. Chair, Representative Hanson, I believe the majority of them were. I can go back and get you a more complete history on that. There may have been some bonding components to it as well, but I don't have the complete breakdown of those appropriations from that period.
Mr. Chair. Commissioner Meyer, if there were bonding components, did those have to be on public lands?
Mr. Chair, Representative Hanson, yes, and that's why we come up with this proposal. We, I think, looking at the experience that has occurred in other states, and what other states have done. We've learned a lot of what to do and what not to do, frankly, with this infestation that we're facing. And we need to develop a funding source for private landowners to do the work on their property. It's going to become a barrier. The disease shade tree program, for example, that's in the bonding bill on both sides, that I think may stay in there. That's for work on private or on public boulevards and things. And there are some constraints using bonding dollars for that, because, for example, if the city removes and replants a tree there, because of bonding dollars, that tree has to remain there for 20 years. If they go to widen their boulevard and cut down that tree, now we have to get working with them on some agreement to have them replant that tree or reinvest those dollars because of the lifespan of a bonding project.
Mr. Chair, Commissioner Meyer, so even on the existing appropriations from not the bonding bill that's wherever it's at right now, but the previous bonding bill where there were appropriations, those dollars haven't been appropriated for the public lands because of concerns or disagreements over interpretation.
Mr. Chair, Representative Hansen, we are working through those issues currently.
Representative Hartman.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. I just want to ask a question, Representative McNamara and, if he's still there, yeah, he is, and the Assistant Commissioner on this helping private landowners right now. I think the constituents in my district, when they know we're cutting things deeply in state government, would say, why is it the role of government to help private landowners? If you can just give me a little, especially in these economic times, $1 million sounds like a lot to help private parties that maybe should be doing this out of their own sense of responsibility.
Representative McNamara.
Well, thank you, Mr. Chair. And Representative Hartman, thank you for the question. I can think of a couple examples. My amendment that I offered in this committee was to take some money out of a program where it was going to be given to the third tier of recipients, private property owners, to pay for conservation easements on their land. And we're not even sure that what we were going to get for the money we were paying. It was $1.8 million to have people not mine the rock on their land or not develop it. We're not even sure if the land was eligible to be mined or was potentially developable because of the characteristics of the land. We weren't even planting prairie on the land necessarily. A lot of times we just let them continue to do what they were going to do. This potentially could avert some of the problems. If you remember, many of you may have seen on the news where a lady down in Lakeville had a tree in her backyard. I'm not sure what the circumstances were, but for whatever reason, it was a disease, I believe, elm tree that was supposed to be removed. Maybe she couldn't afford it, but for whatever reason, she actually took a gun after the tree removal contractor that the city had out looking at the property. Those of us that lived through the 70s and 80s, Representative Hartman, you weren't around then, but if you were there, we saw people in their private property even back in that time, senior citizens and such, having to spend a couple thousand dollars to remove a Dutch elm tree in their backyard, whether it was in, you know, Fairmont, Brooklyn Center, or Hastings. Some of these people really struggled, and as Representative Hansen said, we had a program then with general fund. Well, today we don't have that, but we have this LCCMR money, and my point would be we should be expanding it. This is where the money should come from. I would argue it's better than bonding. It doesn't have the constraints. Commissioner Meyer mentioned the problems with planting a boulevard tree, and then supposedly we're supposed to know the tree's going to stay alive for 20 years. Well, a lot of trees I planted are alive 20 years later, but not necessarily all of them. Some roads do get widened or the property gets sold, and there's real complications involved in that. But I think the point is there's some tough people, and this is a resolving loan program, Commissioner Meyer, that would be paid back. So it would offer people, instead of maybe having a city have to put it on their tax rolls and assess them, those are different avenues, this would be opportunity for the City of Brooklyn Center to have a small revolving Brooklyn Park and Brooklyn Center. They both have ash trees in their communities, and so that would be opportunities for them potentially to apply for this.
Representative Hartman.
Thank you. Just a really short follow-up then. That's a really good rationale, and it makes sense. Is there some means testing in this program to make sure that people who can afford to take care of their own personal responsibility on their own property are doing it, and we're reserving the funds for people who, like senior citizens, who don't have the means to deal with a diseased tree?
Mr. Chair, Representative Hartman, as this moves forward, we will be developing those guidelines and rationale, and we will make sure that we keep that in consideration.
Representative Hanson.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. I would hate to think that we would be basing a program on threats and violence where someone took a gun after an inspector, and therefore we need to develop a program. And that's what was said. I think we need to look at where there are needs. We had, with the public domain, last year's appropriation, we had more people apply than the dollars that were appropriated. I think it was a 4-to-1 ask for an existing program that people have already filled out applications for versus creating a new program that because someone took a gun after a tree inspector.
I can't help it, but it does appear that there may be a need for some government beyond our common military defense. But thank you.
Mr. Chair, Representative Hanson, just really quickly, this is based upon removing a barrier that's out there. And I think Representative Portman had a good point that, you know, if a lot of people right now can't afford to have a tree removed, even if it is infested right now. And if we don't get those trees down and they're identified early and reduce the risk of that pest being transferred or growing to full maturation and then moving on to another tree, we've identified this as a potential barrier for the control at this point in time, but we will work with all of you, as we always do, to come up with something that works to provide funds for these types of activities. If there's no other questions, Mr. Chair, I'm just going to move on to a couple other ones really quick. You may have seen in the paper we are moving forward with the youth hunting simplification proposal. This will need to be discussed in the Game and Fish Division as well. What we're looking here on page 2 of the key changes will include eliminating all existing license types for youth ages 17 and under, eliminating the minimum hunting requirements, but talking about accompaniment and how you need to be accompanied at different big game, small game, things like that. And then we're going to create or establish a $2.50 youth hunting license based on the species and type for anybody 17 and under across the board. Will allow us to not only track these hunters, but still contain or receive a contribution from the Wild Pittman Robertson dollars, which is going to say Wild Perot, but from the federal dollar programs for that license activity. It does come at a cost. That's why it's in the supplemental budget, because we're reducing the requirement of some licenses for people, but the $2.50 offsets that a little bit. In forestry, we're asking for a $250,000 appropriation from the Heritage Enhancement Account for our accelerated ecological classification system work. This is a foundation for the forests. How we're going to, what are we supposed to be planting on these sites, and how should they be planted, and things like that. You can see the ecological classification system provides us the scientific foundation for our silvicultural interpretations that our foresters use and wildlife managers use to make habitat management decisions. So this is a great program. We're looking to accelerate that. The LIDAR appropriation on page 3, this is an appropriation we received last year in the Clean Water Legacy funding. However, inadvertently, it was made a 2-year appropriation. We need 3 years to fly the state and gather this data. We can only fly when the leaves are off, the snow is melted, and there's no leaves on the trees to get the best data available. So we need to continue this for one more year. There's no fiscal cost, but because it does relate to an appropriation, it needs to be in the budget bill. And then lastly, Mr. Chair, there is a KT surcharge account, which is there's a 1% surcharge collected and deposited to the Game and Fish Fund off of every violation Game and Fish Fund related. Right now there's a balance of $900,000 in that account. It goes into the Game and Fish Fund from the courts, but it's not appropriated back to the department. The governor's supplemental budget takes that balance right now, transfers it to the general fund of $900,000. But then in the out years, beginning in 11, this appropriation would be statutorily appropriated to the department for our conservation officers' safety and training programs. One of the things we would use this for as a funding source for future recruitment training program, future, can't think of the name, future recruitment training classes that we have.
Maybe you said this, but the KT, the T is training and...
Criminal, it's kind of...
That's a hard K.
It's criminal, you told me what it was the other day, I can't remember.
Killer.
The K stands for criminal, and then T is... It's a weird acronym I'll get into. Sorry about that, Mr.
We'll reserve judgment on that.
I have a lot of numbers in my head, not a lot of acronyms at this point.
So. Representative.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. And on this one, so has this, the $900,000, is that over a period of time and that could be used for deficit reduction? And if it's being appropriated for police officer training, how is the police officer training currently being paid for? I'm looking for any amount of money to get to solve the deficit.
Mr. Chair, Representative Knuth, the word that I was thinking of is an officer, conservation officer academy. It takes about 8 to 9 months of some intensive training for us to get our officers, our recruits, to the point where we can put them out in a one-on-one position with another officer to continue their training, much like the State Patrol and other police fire departments do. We aren't doing that right now. The last academy we had, I believe, was 3 years ago. We do have about 23 or 24 vacancies out there in field stations. We were hoping to capture these dollars to have a new academy within the future. Now we're going to be having to delay the funding for that, delay the actual academy for a year or two until we get enough funds developed to do that.
Representative Parkinson. Oh, I'm sorry.
Representative. So the academy costs $145,000 per year is for the academy?
Mr. Chair, Representative Knuth, the academy, we have a budgeted related to the academy. This would just be a portion of those expenses. Other funds do pay for those academies as well, game and fish and other dedicated accounts. I can provide the committee with an actual budget of what we've spent on previous academies.
Okay. Representative Tarkelson.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Assistant Commissioner Meyer, how long has this money been accumulating in this account?
Mr. Chair, Representative Tarkelson, for a long time. I need to get the exact figures for you. Mr. Chair, we've never received an appropriation out of this account. That's why the balance is so high. But I can get you when this surcharge is put in place.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. So was there previously some plan for this, or was it just accumulating for no good reason?
Mr. Chair, Representative Torkelson, this was established as a source of funding for our police officer training needs. The issue was that there was just never an appropriation out of the Game and Fish Fund to the department to expend these dollars. So this surcharge was established, and I need to get the history on that for you. But the money has never been appropriated back to us.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Do we have any other funds that are accumulating that we could raid?
Mr. Chair, Mr. Chair, Representative Ferguson, not that we're aware of. We would have put those on the table if we had that, Mr. Chair. Representative Ferguson.
Thank you, Commissioner Meyer.
Representative Hanson.
Thank you, Mr. Chair and Commissioner Meyer. So this is a shift of $900,000 from the Game and Fish Fund into the general fund.
Mr. Chair, Representative Hanson, these funds are located in the Game and Fish Fund, but they aren't Game and Fish Fund related dollars. There are funds that are deposited within the Game and Fish Fund. It's not license revenue. These come from, as I said, it's a 1% of the surcharge collected off of penalties. So technically it does come from the Game and Fish Fund, but it's not Game and Fish Fund license revenue related. We are not in a position of diversion from the federal government from doing this.
Mr. Chair.
Representative Hanson.
Commissioner Meyer, what is the annual appropriation for overtime for the conservation officers. Is that general fund? Or?
Mr. Chair, Representative Hansen, previous to last biennium, there was a line item. There was language that said each officer, basically, to paraphrase it, was entitled to 200 hours of overtime per year. That language was eliminated in the last budget bill. We're managing overtime on a need basis. I mean, there are periods of the year where we need to have overtime officers. 4th of July, Memorial Day, fishing opener weekend, the deer hunting season, duck opener, things like that. But we are not doing it as an across-the-board 200 hours per person.
Mr. Chair, so where does that money come from? Is there any general fund money in the overtime expenditures?
Mr. Chair, Representative Hansen, I can get you a breakdown of the budget that we did. Actually, probably be FY09 would be the best example of that, or what we're anticipating this year. It comes from the funding sources. I mean, the Division of Enforcement is a very diversified funding stream, if you want to call it that. General fund, game and fish fund, all of our recreation natural resource programs. I'll provide that list to the committee.
Representative Gilley.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Do any of the dollars in the reductions that we talked about today come from the registration fees for snowmobiles, ATVs, watercraft, and so on?
Mr. Chair, Representative Doty, there is a portion, as I talked about, from the natural resource reductions that do come from the ELS account, the electronic licensing system account, from water rec, from boating. But the other user balances, snowmobile, OHV, ATV, are not in the natural resource reductions at this point in time.
So, follow up, Mr. Chair. So, in the materials presented today, then, we could tell a constituent who is a little bit worried about his snowmobile money going to these uses that it really didn't do that.
Mr. Chair, Representative Doty, yes. The original documentation that was released in the governor's supplemental budget contained a reduction on those accounts inadvertently. That information, those proposals were not to be included in that document as it was released. Trying to pull together numbers for a $1.2 billion reduction, and then you have, it was $247,000 from snowmobiles, and I don't know what the other one was from OHVs, not a lot. Those proposals should not have been included in there, but they inadvertently were. We clarified that. MMB has contacted Mr. Reinholz and fiscal staff in both the House and Senate on that inadvertent inclusion. So, yeah, the correct answer is you can tell your constituents that there are no snowmobile or ATV OHM dollars in the budget reduction proposal.
So we've been getting beat up because of the governor, eh? Sorry. I've been hearing about that, too. I don't know.
Mr. Chair, we did clarify that with MinUSA yesterday at their meeting. I mean, we did speak with them on that, so hopefully everybody does understand the situation at this point in time.
Thank you for your clarification. Thank you, Representative Doty, for that. That'll be helpful. Representative Hartman.
Sorry, Mr. Chair, for having a second question in such a short time, but just a general question about your budget. What you presented to us in these cuts is just general fund, and then what you had talked about in your budgeting for results budget was your comprehensive budget. And just looking at them, it kind of comports with what you told us last year, that the general fund is only 34% of your budget in total. And so when you were talking at the beginning about the reductions in your budget being like 3% and 6% and things like that, were you talking about reductions in your general fund budget, not your overall budget? And then my follow-up question is, when we get budget information from the department, forgive me if I should know the answer to this question, but why don't we get a comprehensive budget that includes all funds? For example, the Game and Fish Fund is 26% of your budget. That's a big chunk of change. We don't know whether that's up or down from last year. Some of the areas where you do general fund work, but you also use the Game and Fish Fund for the same kind of work, we don't know if you're able to do more or less overall because we don't know where these other funds are. So those are my two questions.
Mr. Chair, Representative Hartman, the proposals that we have here are general fund, the $1.3 million from Natural Resources Fund are from other accounts that I spoke of. It's on the page 4 of the general fund reduction, so there are some non-general fund reductions being proposed, but this is the 64, the 3% or 6% is from just the DNR's general fund portion. The budgeting for results document that I went through previously, because of the comprehensive nature of that document, we didn't restart that over. It's our goal is to keep that as a live document and keep updating it as the years go on. So it talks about all of our funding sources. It does have the reduction that took place of the $800,000 and the $1.475 unallotment that occurred in June that the governor's supplemental budget does ask to be ratified. So if you take off those first two blocks, then look at the remaining, this document is to be subtracted from the remaining outcomes or indicators that are there. And the other piece, I just need to sit down with you, Representative Hartman, and find out exactly what you're looking for. Our budget is very complex. It's presented in the way that it's always historically been in the context. We talk in the biennial budget cycles of the percentages of general funds and dedicated funds per division. I believe that information is up on our website, but whatever detail you're looking for, we can surely provide you.
Representative Hartman.
It just occurs to me as we're trying to fill a $1.2 billion budget hole in the general fund, it would really be helpful in this area if we knew if the Natural Resources Fund is up, if the Game and Fish Fund is up, if the Environmental Trust Fund is up, if Special Revenue is up, and if you can accomplish your work using those funds more than the general fund. It may be that a 3 or 6% in your general fund allocation is too light considering the situation. I understand that your agency doesn't want any cuts, but we're looking at a 34% picture of your budget when we talk about the general fund, and so I don't know how we're supposed to figure out what's the right cut amount unless we look at 100% of the revenue that the department gets.
Mr. Chair, Representative Hartman, you hit the nail right on the head. As the department is dealt with, the instructions that we began back in June were 3%, 6% general fund holdbacks. We have many people throughout the state who actively and willingly pay the department to do what they want to do, hunt, fish, snowmobile, whatever. Those dollars that are in those accounts have strict sideboards statutorily. So I understand what you're trying to say, and it's the monies that are in the Game and Fish Fund and the Natural Resources Fund most times have fund integrity issues associated with them. So to go into some of those accounts, unless we change the overriding statutory restrictions on those funds, we would become a fund. It would be a huge fund integrity issue for us, or a supplanting issue that it's very difficult for us to try to. The duck stamp dollars have to be used on certain things. The small game dollars have to be used on certain things. Parks and trails dollars and things like that. So we could certainly go through the statutes and talk about the restrictions that are on those funds. And, you know, at some point in time, we're going to have to. I mean, the small game surcharge account, for example, for habitat and fish and wildlife, we don't spend a lot of staff time out of there, but we're getting to a point where we need to. So we appreciate your comments.
Mr. Chair, just really brief final follow-up, because I know we have two more people, but I understand the fund integrity issue, but there are areas where we use some general fund money and we use some special fund money, and so what I'm talking about is in those areas, if the fund balance is up in some of the special revenue accounts, maybe we can take a bigger cut in the general fund money when you're using two pots of money for one activity, and that's kind of hard to sort out with the information that we have.
Mr. Chair, Representative Hartman, thank you very much. We will talk with you more about that. You can see, as I mentioned, the Game and Fish Division will face a day within the next several years, in my opinion, that there'll be no Game and Fish Fund. I mean, no general fund in the Game and Fish Division. I mean, we may be that way in other divisions as well as we're faced with these exact situations. So I appreciate your comments, and we will provide whatever information we can for you.
Representative Hansen.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Commissioner Meyer, I just wanted to go back to the inadvertently part of the budget, because I think the governor's budget was presented on February 15th, so about 10 days ago. We've met to kind of go over these issues, and we've heard we need to move quickly on cutting spending and that we should look at the governor's proposals, but if there are these inadvertent errors that are in there and you've been working on it since last summer and then it's released, I'm assuming it was vetted throughout the administration and up into the governor's office, and there's this inadvertent error that then gets out and gets interest groups all fired up because we see it. It's out there in public as the budget that we're supposed to consider. How does that happen? I mean, are there any other inadvertent errors in the budget that we have yet to discover?
Mr. Chair, Representative Hansen, I can only speak to the DNR portion of the budget, and that has been rectified. We all know we're dealing with a complex scenario, a complex issue, and frankly, the pace that we're running at it is pretty crazy. I mean, we're all working really hard to do bonding, to do budgets, to do other things, and to get our work done as fast as possible. Things are going to happen like that, and it's just the amount of things and activities that are going on in the executive. I can only speak to the DNR, but the amount of work that we're doing to try to keep up with you guys, it's incredible. And those types of things, as much as we don't want them to happen, sometimes they're going to happen. So I can't speak for any other agencies or other pieces of the budget, but, you know, all I can say is accidents happen, and all we can do is the best to deal with them at that point in time.
Do you have anything further?
Mr. Chair, I just want to say we really appreciate your interest and support for the department, and we look forward to working with you and your staff to come up with solutions to deal with the challenge that's in front of us. So thank you.
Thank you, too, for your hard work. And I'm looking at the agenda. Len Price, Conservation Corps of Minnesota. Welcome.
Good morning, Mr. Chairman and members. I appreciate the opportunity to come in and visit today about the impact of these recommendations from the governor's supplemental budget on the Conservation Corps. I'm Len Price, the executive director of the now called Conservation Corps Minnesota. Maybe I should just quickly tell you why we changed our name. We're doing a lot of strategic planning, and our marketing people suggested that what we should do is identify what we do first, who we deal with secondly, and where we're from thirdly. So we do conservation, we deal with young people in a corps, we do it in Minnesota. So Conservation Corps Minnesota is our official new name, so just put the Minnesota on the tail end of this, and we'll be in business. And I'll be the first one probably today to refer to us by our old name of Minnesota Conservation Corps, or MCC. It's still easy to roll that off our tongues. I included in your packet a handout that's actually part of the report that we are required to present to the legislature about the monies that we receive in state dollars. So when you look at the numbers, all of a sudden after the cover page, which has our new logo on it, we jump to page 4. And that's because I just took portions of the report to present to you this morning. If you flip over to the backside of the front cover page at the bottom of what's labeled page 4, you can see the two areas where we at Conservation Corps receive state dollars. We get some general fund dollars, and last year we in the bill received $455,000, which this committee was responsible for appropriating to us. And then we get access to the dedicated funds, which have been a part of the discussion here this morning, and it's $490,000. And that amount has been the same since 2003 when the Conservation Corps left the Department of Natural Resources. The idea was that this would be a way to provide some stable work access for the Corps, and consequently, a lot of that work is done from those dollars that Mr. Meyer was just discussing with you, and we do that work. We don't get that money. Nobody gives us a check for that money. We have to go do the work to earn it. So I just wanted to point that out to you. At the top of what's labeled page 7, there's a pie chart which shows that if you take those two funds, They constitute about 26% of our total revenue stream. You will notice that we received federal grants in the last fiscal year. You were helpful in engaging us in arranging fee-for-service work with the Board of Water and Soil Resources. You can see that slice of the pie kind of on the lower left side. But the biggest chunk of our money comes from us doing work in a fee-for-service relationship with what amounted to about 120 project partners in the last fiscal year. We've dipped below the 50% for the first time because our budget expanded because of an increase in some of our individual fundraising, our foundation work, and also the Bowser work. So our goal has always been to earn at least half of our money by doing work in collaboration with partners. Now, if you turn to page 6, you will see how we use those natural resource fund dollars. We sit down after you've decided how much we're going to get of those dollars, or access to them. We sit down with the various divisions of the Department of Natural Resources, and we talk about what work they have and what we should be engaged in. And we agree to work X number of hours at a rate that's described there. If you look at what was agreed to before we began this last, or the first year of the biennium, you'll notice in the lower chart that we're about halfway through the biennium, so we've done about half of the work and expended about half of those dollars. This is an important source of revenue for us because it's stable work. We know that we have that work. Whereas the other fee-for-service work we do, we have to go out and line up these project partners in the year ahead, really, of when we're going to do the work. So this gives us some stability, and we appreciate that. In the governor's recommendation, I believe there's a reduction in these natural resource funds of about 2.1%. It's a small dollar figure. It pales relatively to everybody else in the world, in the universe. I mean, we're talking here about maybe $22,000. The general fund dollars, which is described on page 7, the recommendation for the reduction is about $21,000. It again represents about a 2.3% reduction. I'd like to call your attention to, on page 7, the lower part of the page and the first paragraph where it describes how many young people we engaged in our program this last year. Almost 300 youth and young adults who get an opportunity to do this hands-on, sustainable, environmental, natural resource kind of work. And that's a win-win for everybody. It's a win for them because they get the experience, and it's a win for the people who are responsible for natural resource management because we are an effective and low-cost workforce for them. In the second paragraph, you'll notice it says that we, in that fiscal year, did about 185,000 hours of work. So, if there's a reduction in the general fund dollars and the natural resource dedicated dollars, the answer for us is simple. It's a very direct one. We won't engage as many young people. We won't have as many crews. We just won't give that opportunity to as many young people, and therefore the work will not get done by us. It's just a business decision. You can see on the next page, on page 8, the kind of work that we did. It's a wide spectrum of work. We keep very accurate reports of what each crew does each week. We call them SAW reports, Survey of Accomplished Work. There's a, on the very last page, there's a sample of what our reporting mechanism looks like. We try to give our young people as much variety of experience as we can. We could spend the entire 10 and a half months of a young adult Corps member being a buckthorn buster. I mean, they could remove buckthorn forever in this state. But we try to give them, depending on where they're located, as much of a variety of experiences they possibly can get. Many of them will become our natural resource managers. Many of them have gone out of our program into the Department of Natural Resources, U.S. Fish and Wildlife, U.S. Forest Service. We're very proud of the program that we have and the experiences that we give to these young folks. And on page 9, you can see the members of our board of directors. We have 6 new people on our board, become a very, very active board. We're very proud of the contributions that they make to our board and the fact that there's a wide range of experiences for them. In talking to some of the members of the board, I said my message to the legislature as I testify is going to be, we want to be part of the solution. We're not interested in being part of the problem. But if there's a cut in this program, as I said before, it means a reduction in opportunity for young people. It means less work being done in the natural resource arena. I'm here monitoring this committee a lot of times because our partners are the DNR folks who come here regularly, the folks at Bowser. What happens to them affects us and our capability to provide opportunity for the core members that we engage. So we're interested in what happens to all of those agency reductions as well. I stand for any questions.
Representative McNamara.
Well, thank you, Mr. Chair, and Mr. Price, thank you for the good work that you do on behalf of getting a lot of these young folks to learn my industry that I came from and such. I just have a couple of questions. I like a lot of what you're doing, the Buckthorn, teaching them skills to maybe be interested long-term in the landscape, native prairie, and all that kind of industry. But I just want to ask a couple questions in regards to, is the Corps buying any native seed drills, any skid steers, any tractors, that kind of stuff that I think potentially gets you on the fringe of where you're competing with the private sector and the good work they're doing?
Mr. Chairman and Representative McNamara, we do not purchase those things. We have probably not used any of that type of equipment that you listed. The project host that we work with probably is the one that has that equipment. We're not interested in competing with what the private sector does best. We have parameters of what we train our folks for, and that's where we find ourselves to be the most efficient.
Thank you, Mr. Chair, and Mr. Price, thank you for that, and I just wanted to get it on the tape here that this is one of those areas where we start to get in the fringe, where there's a fine line between helping people out and the good work you do, whether it's like you or Tree Trust or those other programs, but we have to be careful that we don't step over that line and then all of a sudden become competition and we got government competing with the private sector. So thank you for what you're doing, and we certainly wish you luck going. Thank you.
Thank you.
Representative Clark.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I just want to say I'm not worried about you competing with the private sector. I think you're creating young people's skills that will be very useful in the private sector in the future. So what I wanted to ask you is, can you tell us a little bit about the demographics of the Conservation Corps, the youth that are there, and then also the types of agencies they're working with, the demographics of both of those?
Thank you, Mr. Chair and Representative Clark. We have 3 big programs. Let me start with the newest. It's called the Youth Outdoors Program. It's in St. Paul. It is in collaboration with the St. Paul Parks Department. We recruit heavily among high school youth in the inner city. The youth have to be from St. Paul. They have to be at or below 80% of the median income of St. Paul, so many of them are from a very, very low income. 2 days after school and Saturdays. They get paid minimum wage because part of the money comes from St. Paul's Youth Corps funding stream. I would say this is only the first year we've done this. I would think 75% are probably minority students, and that'll be our target. Our summer youth program, 15 to 18 year olds, we recruit from all over the state. Typically 50% are ethnic minorities, racial and ethnic minorities. Young adult core program, 18 to 25 year olds, probably 60% are college grads. They want to get into a natural resource career. They see this as an opportunity to network with a lot of the people that we work with. We're very, very white. We are trying very hard to increase the mixture of ethnicities and backgrounds. We've had some successes in doing that. We keep working at it. All of those folks in that young adult program are in the AmeriCorps program, so they are eligible when they get done with a full year of service to receive an AmeriCorps Education Award, which is now going to be equal to a Pell Grant. And they can use that to go back to school or to pay off past college debt. So we see that as a huge advantage to them, and that is one of the reasons that they join our program.
Thank you. Just to follow up,
Jim Clark.
So the Youth Outdoors is a new program in St. Paul. Are you doing any in the other parts of the state that are trying to particularly serve or skill up those young people of color, indigenous people?
Mr. Chairman and Representative Clark, we piloted the program last year in St. Paul because they were interested in collaborating, had some financial resources. We tried to start the program in Minneapolis, but we did not have success there. We continue to work on that endeavor. We'd like to do that. We're redoing our strategic plan, and one of the notions we had was maybe we could start this Youth Outdoors program in a couple of regional centers in the state. I don't know how that would work because it's a different kind of program, and it's difficult to run programs that are far away from our administrative headquarters when it comes to that kind of programming. But we are always looking for new collaborations. And I personally think that the YO program, Youth Outdoors, is one that's going to grow because I'll give you an example. We have 24 positions. We have 125 applications sitting on our desks right now for this session of that program. And that's just St. Paul.
Mr. Chairman?
Representative Clark.
I'm particularly interested in if you have any American Indian or Indigenous youth involved.
Mr. Chair and Representative Clark, we have had Native American youth in our program, and we have recruited there. There has not been a lot of interest. We have been approached by Camp Rabidoux folks in, it's between Black Duck and Cass Lake. I can't describe it any other way. In trying to work with them to have our program come into their planned cultural, what is it called, Representative Purcell? Cultural Native American Center, which would be at the site would be an old CCC camp, the one that's the best preserved in the country. So we've been meeting with them over the course of 3 years to talk about how our program could be a template for engaging Native American youth in that area. And we continue to talk. It's a matter of getting the camp in a good facility situation so it can actually be a support system.
Just a final comment, Mr. Chair. I just want to indicate I'd be really happy to work with you on that kind of recruitment, especially in our inner city American Indian youth. We have a lot of, you know, we tried last year to do a project that did not get funded that was specifically to work with Indigenous American Indian youth. So if there's a way to do that, it sounds like you need a little help in Minneapolis. I'd be glad to help you with that. It would be an area where I know there's a lot of interest, and I would think some of the tribal communities as well, too. Thank you.
Thank you very much.
Okay. No further questions for Mr. Price. Thank you very much. Want to take care of some business here. Dispense with the minutes of February 23 if someone's had the opportunity to read them and would like to move the minutes. Representative Scalzi moves that minutes February 23, 2010 be approved. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
A couple of announcements here. We're going to take up with Ms. Blackburn and the Board of Soil and Water Resources, the Water and Soil Resources, at our next meeting, March 2nd. And also a reminder that there will be public testimony on the governor's supplemental budget from 9 to 10 at that meeting. So with that, we'll adjourn for today. Thank you.